Everything was good. His life was in order. He had a steady job, and while it was simple, he made a good living. You see, it's what his father had done, and most likely it's what his father's father had done. And he would dream that one day his son would do the same. While his hands were weathered and filled with calluses, it didn't matter. He was a craftsman and a good one at that. He loved to build things from materials made of the earth. And he always had a vision for the ordinary. He felt God's pleasure every time the hammer hit the nail or his saw would cut through the fresh wood. He had tremendous skill and imagination, and he saw the potential in things that others could not. You see, his life was good, his life was in order, and it was getting even better. From the first time he laid eyes on beautiful Mary, he knew it was going to be even better. As the excitement grew, he asked her to marry him, and she said yes. And from that moment on, Joseph began to dream about what their lives would be like together. Until one day, when his world was shaken at the core, his order turned into chaos when his beautiful Mary came to him and said that she was pregnant. I don't know what you would do if you were engaged to somebody and they said they were pregnant. You would probably open your eyes and just be, oh my gosh, my world is spinning out of control. I mean, think about it. What a scandal. What would he do next? Even more than that, what would people say? Because you know people like to talk. And I'm sure they did. Heartbroken, he knew that he couldn't marry her. How many times he must have thought, my life will never be the same. My life will never be the same. Little did he know how true those words would really come to be. You see, this is where we pick up our story this morning. Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. And to understand what that means, we need to understand the Jewish context of marriage in that day. For you see, marriage took place in two stages. The first stage was when a man and woman would stand before witnesses and give their formal consent to marry one another. They would then exchange vows and become, quote, legally married. And that's why they would call themselves husband and wife. And when you read verse 19, you hear that Joseph was referred to as Mary's husband. But you see, it wasn't for another year that they would actually come together to consummate the marriage. Because the bride at that time would then go back to her home with her mom and dad and live for another year. You see, Mary was probably 13 or 14 years old at this time. And Joseph, the one that she was betrothed to, was probably 15 or 16. And so Joseph, not knowing that it was the Holy Spirit who had come upon Mary to conceive a child, thought she'd become pregnant from another man. Chaos, right? His world had just begun spinning out of control. Well, he knew this well. The law then allowed for the termination of an engagement in the case of adultery. And here's what we read in verse 19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Now, I don't want to skip over that statement there very fast because it tells us something about Joseph. I don't know many men who would respond not wanting the one that they were engaged to, who she was pregnant by somebody else, supposedly, would not want to put them to shame, right? But I love this because, in a sense, Joseph had compassion and mercy on her. And what we find, even in that brief scene, is the character of the one in her womb already shining through Joseph's life. Do you see that? His response was an otherworldly response. But he already had what the son to be born of Mary. He already began to display those characteristics. And so what Joseph chose to do was to privately divorce her, something more like a private annulment to put her away. Now think about it. As he's laying on his bed contemplating these things, I imagine tossing and turning, not able to sleep for hours. All of a sudden, an angel of the Lord comes to him in a dream and explains what's going on. And you heard that in the text this morning. You see, what Joseph experienced is what we often experience in life, isn't it? We can be going through life in a neat an orderly way, and all of a sudden find ourselves in the midst of chaos. Have you been there? Can you remember the last time that happened to you? Life neat and orderly, everything okay, and then in an instant, chaos enters your world. Can you remember that? Maybe some of you are in that right now, and you don't really know what to do. Here's what we're going to see this morning. What we find in this account, in Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, is that in the midst of chaos, two things: God is faithful and God is present. Do you see that? In the midst of chaos, and you need to hear that this morning. I need to hear that this morning. I know what some of you are going through because you've shared it with me. So I want you to hear this. In the midst of chaos, our God is faithful and God is present. Think about it. God is faithful. Surely Joseph would have known the stories. They were stories that would have been told to him over and over and over again. He'd heard the stories of the Israelites coming out of slavery in Egypt, crossing the Red Sea. He'd heard of their wanderings for 40 years in the wilderness. He'd heard of the conquest of the land. And he'd also heard stories of their disobedience. You know, kind of like what we saw this fall, if you were here with us, as we unpacked the book of Judges. And over, the theme of the Israelites' disobedience there. But Joseph would have known this too, that God never stopped loving his people. You see that? He would have known that God never withdrew his love. In fact, he continued to love them, even in their difficult mess. Friends, what we see, what Joseph would have known, is that God is faithful. Surely he would have remembered the stories from the prophet Isaiah. Part was read this morning in the Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 7. He would have heard that he would have known that God had allowed the Assyrians to take his people into captivity, into exile. Joseph would have heard how severe God's judgment was. But Joseph would have also known that God never withdrew his love from his people. Do you see that? He would have known that God remained faithful even when his people were not faithful back to him. You see, God never abandoned his people, and Joseph would have known that. In fact, the very scene that was read in Isaiah chapter 7, as the Israelites are carried off into captivity, God comes with these words: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Joseph would have heard those words. He would have known those words. But who would have thought that the virgin that God spoke of in Isaiah chapter 7 in the Old Testament would be his wife? Can you imagine his world? You see, you and I always don't know what's going on, right? We don't always know what's going on around us. We don't always understand how God could use the chaos that we go through to bring about something beautiful in our lives, do we? We think that God is distant in the chaos, right? If you were here last Sunday, you heard Ryan speak about with God, there is no plan B. And I love that because it is so true. With God, there is no plan B, which means the chaos that you're going through right now is not plan B. It's actually plan A. And he spoke to these words from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Here's what we read. Paul wrote, "For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose." Did you hear that? All things, even the chaos, even the unexpected chaos, works together. When I read Paul's words there in Romans chapter 8, I'm reminded of the words that echo throughout the Old Testament that begin, I believe, in Deuteronomy chapter 31. These words where God says, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you." Do you hear those words? Do you believe that? When God says, "I will never leave you, I will never forsake you," those words echo throughout the Old Testament. Surely Joseph had heard them over and over and over again. Friends, what I want you to see this morning, God is faithful. Even when chaos enters our home, God is faithful. Let me give you one more example. I love this. This is from the latter part of the book of Isaiah. And the context here is Isaiah is writing to comfort God's people who are in exile in Babylon. Now they'd been sent into exile, they've been there for a long time. But he's writing words of hope amidst their chaos. And listen to what Isaiah wrote. This is Isaiah 40, verses 28 to 31. It begins with this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? You know, I love how he began that. Have you not known? Have you not heard? It's as if he's saying, do you not know? Children of the living God, do you not know? Have you forgotten who God is? You know how easy it is to forget God in the chaos, right? I was recently in it for a bit, and some of my reactions and words, I had to have a friend of mine come and say, now, wait a minute, you know? Think about it in this term. We can often forget who God is. We can forget and we begin to doubt and we become discouraged. But listen to these words. Isaiah writes, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not grow faint or weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths grow faint and become weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isn't that glorious? Friends, it's a picture of God's faithfulness. You see, what it shows us about God is this, the everlasting God that Isaiah describes, the everlasting God is the God who is faithful forever. Forever. That's who he is. You see, despite the Israelites' failings, God was faithful, wasn't he? He was faithful to his covenant. For you and me, in spite of our sin, in spite of our failings, in spite of the way that we turn our back against God over and over again, guess what? He is always faithful. He cannot not be faithful. It's who he is. I want you to think about this. Don't look at it right now. You can if you want, if you've got a Bible. I love how Matthew begins his gospel. Have you ever noticed that? This genealogy. I want to look at the genealogy for a minute. And I don't know if you've ever read it. Maybe you're like me. Sometimes I'll read a passage and it has a bunch of names. And most of them I cannot pronounce. And so I just skip over them to the good stuff, right? Don't do that here. Frankly, don't do that anywhere. You know why? This genealogy is magnificent. You know what we find here? It ties together both the promise of God and its fulfillment. You see that? The genealogy in Matthew chapter 1 ties together the promise of the coming Savior and his fulfillment. You see, it began with Abraham, and it's now being fulfilled in Christ. 42 generations later, Jesus comes. Can you believe that? 42 generations. That's how faithful God is, friends. He never forgot. And what I love about our God is he chose people like Rahab, the prostitute, to be in the genealogy and in the lineage of our Savior. And he chose good kings of the Israelites and horrid kings that are in the lineage of our Savior. Friends, this is who our God is. He is so faithful to his people. Now, I want to give a brief aside for just a moment. I was thinking about this. Often when we read or we study God's word and we meditate upon it, can I tell you where we most often go? We most often spend our time in the New Testament, right? Because it's easier. You know, it's not as messy with all those words and those stories that we really don't understand and the battles that we don't really understand what's going on. But can I tell you, don't just land and camp out in the New Testament. What you and I need is the whole of the beauty of this word. Do you know why? Spend some time looking at the names and the genealogy, and you will be overwhelmed at God's presence. You'll be overwhelmed at God's faithfulness to his people. From beginning to end, that's what we find. So I want to encourage you as you dive in more and more, read it from beginning to end and see the greatness of our God. For listen, even though there's a huge time span between the promise of the Savior and when he comes, again, we see that God is faithful and he always is. Now listen, even though many of us are in that place of chaos right now, what I want you to know is this: be still and remember God's faithfulness. He's with you in the storm. He always is. He always has been. You know, in this season of Christmas, of Advent, as we look forward to the birth of Christ, we can get so wrapped up in the gifts that we have to buy, taking that perfect Christmas card, right? Decorating your home better than last year, spending so much time trying to find that perfect gift for that loved one, right? We can spend so much of our time between now and Christmas Day, and we can forget what we're celebrating, can't we? Have you forgotten what we're celebrating? Listen, we celebrate because God never forgot his promise to us. Do you see that? That's why we celebrate. That's why Christmas morning is so magnificent. Why there's such a celebration. We celebrate God never forgot his promise. We celebrate because God did not give up on the world, did he? And we celebrate because God never gave up on us, nor will he ever. And I believe there's some of you who need to really hear that this morning. We celebrate because God will never give up on his children. And so if you're here this morning doubting, I can assure you of the faithfulness of our God, he will never give up on you. You see, we celebrate because God cares so much more about life, so much so, and you know the story, that he sent his son into this world. Now, you got to understand this. The baby didn't remain in a manger. And we ought to be glad he didn't. You know why? Because as he grew, as he lived, what he did was he lived the perfect life for you and me. The perfect life that we could not live because of sin, which made him the perfect sacrifice for our sins on the cross. That's how much God loves you. That's how faithful our God is, that he himself entered our world and he himself died for us so that we could be reconciled to God. As somebody shared this with me earlier this week, they said, when you can't see possible good in something that you're going through, remember that God is faithful, right? Sometimes in the chaos, it's hard to find anything good. But I want you to remember this morning, God is faithful. But not only is God faithful, he's present with you in it. And that's what we find here. You see, God was with Joseph the entire time. He may not have known it or not, but God was with him. And in that right moment, the angel of the Lord came and gave him the words that he needed to hear. You see, what you and I find in this passage is that when life seems like it's spinning out of control and chaos has come knocking on your door, I want you to remember God is there. He's in the midst of it. And we know this. You've heard me talk about it and others talk about it often here. Though God can take us out of the chaos, he often chooses not to. But the most important thing to know is that he is with us in the chaos, and he always will be. Don't miss this most beautiful part of the scene in Matthew's gospel. The Holy Spirit coming upon Mary is God coming with us, God present with us. Think about it this way. The Holy Spirit was with God the Father and God the Son in creation, bringing life into this world, wasn't he? And now in this scene, what we find is the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary, overshadowing her and bringing life into her womb. In that most unfathomable mystery, the Holy Spirit overshadows her, and there's a seed, and she begins to conceive a child. What's so amazing is that God was coming among us. I want you to know that's how much he loves us. That's how faithful he is. He knew if we were going to have any hope whatsoever, he had to come among us. And so what we find here is this. If God is coming among us, that means that you and I will never be alone. Do you see that? You're never going to be alone. Even though you may feel it, he's with you. And listen, not even his death could take him away from us, right? Because what did he say at the end of Matthew's gospel? What did Jesus say? Matthew 28:20. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What did Emmanuel say? Say it. Behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. I want you to remember that this morning. I want you to remember that when Monday comes. I want you to remember that when chaos enters your home next time. I want you to remember the words of Emmanuel himself. Behold, I am with you even to the end of the age. Let me wrap it up with this statement. What is so glorious about this passage is we find that God is faithful and God is present with us. We don't just go back to Abraham to see God's promise. The beauty of God's word is we go farther back. We go back to the very beginning, Genesis chapter 3, where we find the promise of a seed who would come to save. This seed is now in Mary's womb. God himself, Emmanuel, coming among us. So friends, remember, as we set our sight to the glorious morning, on Christmas morning, remember, God is faithful, and he came among us. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, we submit this to you. Come do the deep work you long to do in our hearts. Stir us up with this hope, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.